This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Congressional approval ratings hit 10% this week, a new low. If you found yourself yelling at the radio and TV news stories on the government shutdown or plotting revenge at the next election cycle, you may not have to wait until 2014. Last month, two of Colorado's Democratic senators became targets of a recall campaign after voting for more restrictive gun laws, adding to the increasing number of recall campaigns launched over the past 2 years.
These results could really pave the way for other recalls all across the country. Have a look right here. Moore's lost by just 343 votes, 51% to 49%.
Both were thrown out of office, making clear that a politician's voting record does not only come up during campaign cycles. Seth Maskett is a political scientist at the University of Denver and a regular contributor to Pacific Standard. He spoke with producer Taylor Quimby about his article, "The Recall is the New Normal."
Only 38 recalls in American history, 17 in the last, 2 years?
The last 2 or 3 years.
So what's causing the spike in recalls?
Well, there's a couple of trends that seem to be working at the same time. One is that the parties at the state level have gotten very polarized. I mean, we've seen that happening at the national level for a while now, but there's been pretty rapid polarization in state legislatures over the last decade or so. And the other thing is that we have a record number of states that are run by a single-party government right now, where you have both chambers of the state legislature and the governor all of the same party. There's 43 state legislatures right now that have single-party control. That's the highest number we've seen in more than 50 years. So you have a lot of very programmatic parties, that is, parties that are really trying to accomplish something very rapidly while they're in majority control. And you're doing this at a time when the parties look very differently from each other. So there's a lot of very frustrated minority party members who are looking for some way to slow down legislation or stop it or even reverse it. And the recall is looking like a pretty effective tool for that.
So prior to 2010, were recalls few and far between, or was there, you know, a cluster of them that took place during an especially polarized period in politics, sort of like what's happening right now?
They just weren't very common. They would crop up once in a while, just under usually fairly unusual circumstances. There was a case in California in 1995 when Republicans took over one chamber of the state house by just one seat, and a moderate Republican worked with Democrats to become the new speaker, and so she got recalled. I mean, they were pretty idiosyncratic. It's only just in the last few years that you started seeing recalls used a lot by the minority party to check actions by the majority.
So what constitutes grounds for a recall vote? I mean, what exactly does it take to make it happen?
Well, there are 19 states that have procedures for a recall. In most of these states, there's no real rules on what constitutes a recallable offense. It can simply be, you know, whatever has gotten voters angry. There are some states that do have more specific rules saying it does have to be about some sort of criminal or immoral action. But for the most part, it's pretty wide open. And then it's just simply a matter of circulating a petition. You have to get some certain number of voters to sign a petition. And then if there are enough valid signatures, it goes to a ballot.
Recall votes have definitely dominated headlines in times past. And you mentioned California in, I think, 1995. But of course, there was that 2003 gubernatorial recall. I'm sure everybody remembers because it was Arnold Schwarzenegger who took the place of Governor Gray Davis. I'm wondering, did the result of that election change voting behavior in California in general afterward?
Yes, that was a pretty fascinating election. A lot of the nation was tuned into that and watching that. I did a study with two other political scientists in California looking at the effects of that recall election on members of the state legislature. And we found that actually Democrats in the state legislature moderated after the recall, after Governor Davis was recalled and sent home and replaced by Governor Schwarzenegger. Democrats began voting in a more conservative fashion. It seemed that the recall had sent a message to them that the state was more conservative than they had originally estimated, and that there could be consequences for acting too liberally.
So how do you think the threat of recalls, assuming there are, you know, we're going to continue in this fashion, we're going to see more of them in the near future, how do you suspect candidates will change the way they operate, even, you know, their regular campaigns?
Well, people have been talking for years about the concept of the permanent campaign, the idea that, you know, where there's no longer time between elections, that, you know, people are always sort of preparing for the next election. The recall really makes that a very real thing, in that the election is not a year away or 2 years away. It's possibly just around the corner, depending on how you vote today, which means that in recall states, legislators are probably going to be somewhat more cautious, thinking about, you know, they don't necessarily have time to explain a vote or to let an issue die. If they've offended someone today, it could lead to an election tomorrow.
For you, Seth, I mean, you're a political scientist. Do you think this is government democracy working, or is this democracy failing? You know, is this a problem, or is this exactly what should be happening?
Oh, that's a harder one to say. It's a different form of democracy than we're normally used to. A friend of mine was pointing out to me that in many parliamentary democracies, they don't necessarily have fixed dates for elections, and that the majority party gets to determine when the next election is held.
Hmm.
This situation with the recall kind of turns that on its head, where you have the minority party, the party that just lost the last election, getting to determine when a person is going to be held accountable next. I tend to be of the view that accountability is a very good thing. On the other hand, Americans already have plenty of elections, and they don't necessarily need more. So I think there's both good and bad aspects to this.
Seth Maskett there, political scientist, author, and regular contributor to Pacific Standard, speaking with producer Taylor Quimby. You can read Maskett's article about the rise of the recall at wordofmouthradio.org. Coming up, we're going to speak with a woman who works with patients with Alzheimer's and dementia to create original, unfettered works of poetry. The founder of Living Words joins us when Word of Mouth continues.